Hello?
This is a collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
So, hello, welcome to Life of a Lifer. This is Wife of a Lifer again. Unfortunately, Taylor still remains in lockdown because the cases and COVID-19 has been increasing in his institution. However, instead of stopping this wonderful project, I am taking the lead, and today I have my friend Jolene Armstrong, who has a great project. So I would like, Jolene, if you could introduce yourself.
Sure. Yeah. And oh, Cecilia, thank you so much, for keeping your work going, even under some terrible conditions. I'm sorry to hear about Taylor. It's COVID's been terrible on everyone, but especially on our loved ones behind bars, for sure. But yeah, so my name is Jolene Armstrong, and I appreciate being here. I founded the Photo Project earlier in 2020, so fun time to launch a new project for sure. But I saw a real need to do that, and just I couldn't wait. I was not willing to wait to do that. So launched the Photo Project to help those of us who are supporting those, you know, our loved ones behind bars, and provide some support for the supporters, I guess, the best way to put that. Yeah.
That's very interesting, because it's like most of the time we're talking about, at least I'm also advocating a lot about supporting our loved ones, because it's very, very important. Supporting a loved one can make a big difference between this person getting out one day sooner or serving the entire sentence. So it makes a lot of difference when they have our support. But I always forget to talk about the support that we need, especially for people that have the loved ones here in the free world even before the thing happened. So in my case, I met Taylor, he was already there. But I always admire all the family that had loved ones in the free world where their lives changed. Is your life got affected in some way? You are also a victim of the crime. Mm-hmm. So could you please tell me more about this?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you and I are in the same place almost now. I have a loved one behind bars and so do you, but we got here in a different, you know, by different roads for sure. So before, how I got here was I had a marketing company. I still have that company, and it allowed me a lot of freedom and I was having a lot of fun with it. And so I provide done for you marketing services, but I also provide a lot of coaching, business coaching, and essentially life coaching for entrepreneurs, you know, how to keep your life kind of retain the value of your life while you own a business. So I spent a lot of time helping my clients, talking with them one-on-one in a situation much like this, and, you know, helping them make decisions that would make their lives better. And I was just working any normal day. My son at the time of his arrest was in the military. And so I had all kinds of expectations for his life and hopes and dreams for him. And in one phone call, all of that just got wiped away for me. He was charged with a serious crime. And so those of us who probably anyone watching this or listening to this knows, you know, from the time a person is accused, really for the rest of their lives, they have this scarlet letter on their foreheads, right? This big red F tattooed on their foreheads. And so I saw that all just come crashing down for my son. And from that time on, it was a real living nightmare for me as a parent to support him through, you know, all of the attorney's appointments and hearings and things like that, and to his ultimate sentencing and then incarceration. For me to keep my nose above water in the beginning was just really difficult. And I didn't have support. Like, nobody in my life understood what it's like to support somebody through that. We just hadn't been involved in anything like that before. And I didn't find anyone that did have that experience. And so that part was really the most difficult for me. I didn't have anybody. It was isolating. It was terrifying. And I looked for support and I couldn't, I just didn't really find good support in the beginning. Either I wasn't looking in the right places or I'm just not sure. But I, you know, I did find a therapist who I found out later, you know, one of her biggest fears was felons for some reason. And I thought, okay, well, that didn't, that really wasn't a good fit. I wish she would not have taken me on as a client because she made it worse. But you know, it was a ways into this process that I finally found a therapist that did help me. And I really am an advocate for therapy, you know, but one thing she was missing was the experience. We didn't have a shared experience. She couldn't really relate to me on the level that I'm at because she didn't know anybody in prison either, had never been through that. And, you know, she had all of the clinical training, but just not the experience. And so even though she was a huge help and I actually still see her. I thought, you know, for me going through this, now I've, you know, getting my feet back on the ground and my strength back. And now I've got tools that have really helped me and have helped those in my life around me. I thought it just, I need to be able to share these tools and this experience with others that are going through this too. I don't want anyone to go through what I went through before I found some support. So that was the birth of the photo project.
Okay. So you mentioned about having to go through this. What was the most difficult or what's the biggest challenge that you have as being the mother of somebody that just got a felony? Yeah. What was the biggest challenge for you?
I think there were two things, really, if you don't mind me throwing
a second. You're please share. Yeah. You're here to share. Sorry.
So one thing that was really terrible for me was the isolation in the beginning. You know, I thought there's no way I can talk to, well, certainly I hope my clients don't find out about this because, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? My business is going to go under. I didn't even tell most of my family. I didn't even tell them for at least the first year. Like that, yeah, there was a ton of shame and isolation in the beginning. And so here's my son in prison and my siblings, some of them don't know. Like it was weird in the beginning because I didn't have the tools to be able to do that. And so there was a lot of shame and isolation there. There was also a lot of mourning that happened. I was mourning the person I thought my son was headed to, you know, towards becoming, the life that I had in my head for him and that he and I had talked about and planned for. I mourned the relationship that I felt like I lost because I thought how can I have a relationship with somebody who's in prison? I can't go see him. I can't have holidays with him. I can't, you know, all of the things that you can't do. Like I got stuck in that. Mm-hmm. And so I was mourning a lot of things I didn't need to mourn, but it was there and it was real and it was debilitating at first. So, I mean, there's a lot of fear too that goes along with that. My child who I taught to ride a bike and made sure he had his helmet on is now in this dangerous place, you know, and the experience I had of prison was, you know, the TV shows that we watch, which we know, not exactly an accurate picture of what prison really is, but that's where I was at. Like, oh my gosh, who's he going to be bumping up against every day? And can he sleep there at night? And just, it was a lot. It was a lot at first. So,
I want to reiterate how much I admire you because I'm sure it was difficult and I see you now being very strong and being able to talk about it. So I know probably took a lot of strength and a lot of determination. So tell me more about the tools. You talk about tools. So what type of tools did you develop?
Yeah. So I learned through a lot of hard work. It actually hit me one day. I was on a plane and I can't remember where I was flying. I was flying somewhere. And you know, before you take off, for those of us who fly at any time, they always go through those safety precaution things in the beginning of a flight. And one thing they warn you is if those oxygen masks come down out of the ceiling, you always put your own mask on first before you put anyone else's mask on that you're there with, you know, if you're flying with a child or somebody who you're supporting. So it hit me on this flight recently that's really what this is, what these tools are, is essentially, you know, teaching people to put their own oxygen mask on first, to take care of themselves while they're supporting this person in prison. Because it's a heavy, heavy load to carry. You know this, Cecilia, I'm sure. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yes, it's a
lot. It is a lot. And in fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it is too much for anyone to bear on their own. It just is. And even if you have a wonderful relationship, and Cecilia, I know you made the conscious decision to support Taylor, and I commend you for that. I just think that's such an awesome thing. But you're bearing a weight. You're bearing a heavy, heavy weight. And it takes a lot for us to stop back. Like you said, you don't even think about taking care of yourself. They're the ones that need our help, right? Like, mm-hmm. why would I? But we really do. And for those of us who insist on saying, no, I don't, it's him that needs the support or her that needs the support in there, we can't pour from an empty cup. I'm sure you've heard that saying before, right? You have to shore up your own strength.
Yes.
In order to support somebody else. And some of those tools include having what I call an inner circle, you know, people who know everything you're going through and are willing to step up and be there for you when you need to lean on them. There's a zillion tools that I have to share, but maybe I'll share with you, one that I teach most of my clients and, clients that, you know, that I've worked with who aren't even supporting people in prison, but who, I guess this tool I first learned as a way to help people who suffer from panic attacks. So I don't know if you've ever had a panic attack before, Cecilia.
I think I control myself, but yes, I have felt like sometimes you feel like I have felt it. Yes.
And yeah, your stress level starts to rise, and either it's fear or anger or stress or, you know,
anxiety or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So people who suffer from panic attacks, they can't oftentimes stop that. And they wind up in the ER. It's no joke. It's a frightening, frightening thing. And so I learned this tool as a way to help them. But I've realized that for those of us bearing this weight, it's super, super helpful too. And I'll just tell you, our bodies were built to withstand some stress and some anxiety in short bursts, right? And I mean, one thing, if you think about a time when you had a fender bender or you got into a big argument or confrontation with somebody and then it was over, something like that, you know that feeling of anxiety, but then when it's over, you can also feel it leaving your body, right? That's how anxiety is supposed to be for us, right? We can withstand these sudden shocks of it if it leaves, but supporting somebody in prison, it's this sustained anxiety over time that just really wears on us. And it also makes those times of normal kind of high anxiety even worse for us because we're already pinging at a high level, right? So this tool becomes even more important in this kind of a situation where we're pinging high all the time. Will you do it with me if I teach?
Yes, I really want to. Yes.
It's a good tool. And the other thing is this one is, it's really versatile, and it's not, you can do it anywhere. So if mm-hmm. you're sitting, you know, for example, in court, I've helped some clients who, oh my gosh, you know, my loved one has court tomorrow and I'm so terrified. What am I going to do? I'm going to have a panic attack right there in the courtroom. You can do this in a courtroom. So okay. you can do it anywhere. It doesn't draw a lot of attention to you, but, and it's super simple. It's just not something that you have a lot to remember. So, mm-hmm. So I call it the power of threes, and it's an easy three exercises that you do three times each. So yeah, one right after another. So the first one is, simply taking three super deep diaphragmatic breaths. And what I mean by that, that's a big word, but it really just means you can refer to it as belly breaths, right? So most people, when they take a super deep breath, you see their shoulders go up, right? Mm-hmm. But when you do that, you're actually increasing the cortisol levels in your blood, and that increases stress. So you want to avoid raising those shoulders.
Okay, I was doing it wrong.
Yeah, so keep your shoulders low and relaxed. Mm-hmm. I suggest put your hand on your stomach, because you're going to want your stomach to go out. So breathe deep to the bottom of your lungs. Let your stomach go out when you breathe in. All right, and we're going to do it three times. So see, okay. Hand on your stomach. And first breath in. Second breath in. Stomach goes out. Shoulders low. Third breath in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Already? Do you feel the little bit of calm coming over you?
Yes.
Three nice deep breaths have such an effect on you when you don't let your shoulders go up and your stomach goes out. The next step is simply naming three things around you using descriptors. So for me, I see my window blinds over there. They're white and they're halfway up my window. And I see the camera that I'm talking into and it's black. And I see some flowers that my husband gave me last week and they're red and they're starting to wilt. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I named three things and I didn't just name them quickly. I described them. I used descriptors. I paid attention to my surroundings, what's around me.
So I have a red pen here mm-hmm. that I use for writing stuff. I have a black mouse here that I use for iPhone with my computer, and my black wonderful cell phone. And yes, I feel the difference. I feel like, yeah, it's working.
Yes, yes. And the third, we probably should have done this before we started.
Probably.
Okay, so the third and the last part of this exercise is to name three qualities about yourself. And you have to be careful with this one, because it has to be qualities about yourself. It cannot be, you know, backhanded compliments. It can't be, you know, judgment about yourself or anything like that. It needs to be three qualities about yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'll go first, and I'm going to say that I am a really good listener. I am really positive to a fault. No, nope. I'm really positive. And let's see, I'm easy to talk to. So those are my three.
Okay. For me, one would be I care about people.
Nice.
Second one is I am bilingual.
Oh, very
I
good.
Decorate something. And the third thing is I like challenge, enjoy challenges.
Very good. Very mm-hmm. good. Okay. So that simply is the power of threes. Three very powerful, but very simple exercises done three times each.
I honestly, I'm not lying to you. I feel more relaxed.
Yeah. It's no joke.
It works.
Yeah. So you and I have been chatting here for a little bit and we haven't been super stressful. You know, you're a fun person to talk to, so I appreciate that. But even in this situation, that already just brings calm in. And So imagine if you're out there stressed sometime you get into a fender bender, or you go to a hearing for Taylor, or he tells you something that terrible that's happening to him in there, and you have no control over that, and it raises your anxiety. This power of threes, super simple, use it, and it's going to help you.
I honestly think that you are right. Like you mentioned, like normal people, they go through experience that goes back and forth into the anxiety. For us, it's something that always there, like very, very in there. And I feel in my case, I don't like to think about it, but it's still there for me. Mm-hmm. So I think after this conversation, I realized that I may need more help than I thought that I needed. And also I know some loved ones that are so stressed about their loved ones, they are not productive with their lives. So that actually has an effect on what they can do for themselves and for the loved ones. So if you could please just explain us what are the services that you provide, and more or less how people could get involved on this.
Sure. Okay. So I do a lot of one-on-one conversations just like this. That's the core of the photo project, is providing that kind of shoulder to lean on, right? Mm-hmm. Being that person who's safe to talk to, because oh my goodness, what a difference it makes when you can actually just open up and somebody's there just for you, who gets it, right? So the core of the photo project is that one-on-one care and support, supporting the supporters. And kind of the bottom line of that is allowing those supporters the strength to continue supporting, right? Like what you mentioned earlier, it's so important for our loved ones inside to have that support. So ultimately that's the ultimate goal here, is to shore us all up to be able to continue that. I think the benefit of one-on-one, there are some support groups that are wonderful. Some that I'm working with on a regular basis. I'm sure Cecily, quite a few of those, so I would imagine. there's a benefit, though, in one-on-one real connection there, too, right? Not discounting public support groups at all, because I think that they're important. But one-on-one connection is really the core. I also provide what I call curated inner circles. So one thing that helped me the most once I really defined it was having a specific inner circle. A couple of people, I think, well, mine consisted initially of only three people: my husband, my sister, and one of my friends. And that was it. That's the only people I felt comfortable talking to about this. And boy, did I lean on them. But once I identified them and I talked to them about it, and I said, listen, will you be there to support me? Can I call you if I need you? And of course, each one of them were like, yes, I'll be there for you. I had that commitment, and it was super important. So I create those for people who don't have that in their own lives, right? And that's one thing that's super helpful. Each one of the people in any of those curated groups have worked with me individually first and have some of the tools that I teach. Because a lot of my work, the individual work, is going through one tool after another. Hey, this one I think will help you in this situation. And I pull from my toolbox and I give those out as needed and where I see they'll, be most beneficial, like that power of threes. And I also have just an e-series, something that's super easy, takes almost no commitment, but it has been really helpful. And it's a collection of tools that I just drip out to people via email over about a 21-day period. Mm-hmm. The power of threes is in there, and there are a bunch of other tools in there as well. So for those people who aren't quite ready to make that one-on-one connection yet, but who need some help and some tools, that's a really easy way. It's right on my website. And you can just go, put your name in an email address, and I'll start dripping those out to you. I purposely made it a 21-day series because the experts say it takes 21 days to form a habit. So I thought, you know what, we're going to form a habit together of self-care, taking care of ourselves too. Mm-hmm. So that's a super easy thing to do. And I actually put all of those things together on a page just for Life of a Lifer listeners. Yeah. So if you go to my website, it's thephotoproject.org/lifeofalifer. To make it as easy as possible for you. Everything is right on there. And Cecilia, you've been so wonderful. I just wanted to offer your listeners and viewers a bit of a discount on the one-on-one services. So that's on there too.
Thank you.
And yeah, they can find everything there. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Hopefully, whenever Taylor is back, we would love to have you back and have Taylor make all these interactive questions that he always asks. He's
very smart. Yes. I am so looking forward to that. Not just for myself, because I really want to chat with Taylor, but for him too, because I know this lockdown has been terrible for everyone. And I just, to be cut off from those people that support you on the outside to any degree, but especially to the degree that they have been is... Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. So you and Taylor are both definitely in my thoughts right now, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, thank you so much. And to everybody, thank you for listening. And until next time, see you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone. Yeah.